For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
But tonight we're going to look at, did God create everything? Now the fact is that there's either evolution, that everything came about by chance, random processes. Does that make sense? You have to have a particular belief system to believe that. Or did God create and everything came about through his special creation so that we were able to see things like design and building blocks and so on in creation itself? So if you've never heard anything like this, this will be a very good introduction for you. Did God create everything? Now, on the Victory Faith Centre website, there's a whole section on creation. There's studies in there as well. But let's have a look. Let's start by first of all looking at the glory of God is declared in creation. So we start from the foundation of the Bible. The Bible is really the way we think about things when we look at things. So Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament," it's the atmosphere, "showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." As far as the Lord is concerned, the heavens, looking up into the heavens, seeing the stars, looking at the atmosphere, you should be able to see that it's declaring the glory of God. Every day people see a ball of fire called the sun. They know that it gives light and heat. They know that the earth is precisely the right distance from the sun. And yet it all came about through chance, random processes, apparently. That's what evolution tells us. But is it correct? The Bible says there's no excuse for not believing in God. In fact, Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Notice those words, "clearly seen." "Being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." As far as God is concerned, if you look at creation and you come to the conclusion that there is no God, you're without excuse. And we'll read later on another scripture that tells us that God has already put an internal framework within people to know, if they want to know, that God created. Let's have a look at Psalm 14 verse 1, because the Bible is very clear about this area. Psalm 14 verse 1, let's turn to that. So people have to have a what is known as a world view within them. Now, unless the Bible is true, that God did create, nothing makes sense. And people say, "Well, I only believe in natural, everything I can see and feel." But do they? You can't see and feel the mind. You can't see and feel the laws of nature. You can't see and feel the laws of logic. You can't see and that you use it. Where did the laws of logic come from? Where did the laws of mathematics come from? They're not things you can see and feel. Did the laws of mathematics evolve from nothing? Or did man discover them? So, looking at Psalm 14 verse 1, this is what it says. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." So the atheistic position of believing and propagating the doctrine of evolution, according to the Bible, is not correct. And God puts that in the realm of foolishness and says that it is without excuse. We're going to see some things which tells us that we shouldn't look at creation and think that it all came about by chance, random processes. So here's a few examples of hundreds we could go through. The sun is at the right distance from the earth. In fact, the earth is called a Goldilocks planet. Just right. Mars is too far away. Venus, if you know anything about Venus, it's the most hottest planet in the solar system. completely uninhabitable. The earth has the right composition for breathing. Perhaps it was made for air-breathing animals, for air-breathing man. There's seeds all around us with a blueprint to grow into full plants and animals. Full plants and animals. Water is fit for sustaining life and growth. The firmament or atmosphere acts as a protective barrier for things like radiation, things like meteors, and so on. The structure of animals for movement and function. What do we see in our own body? We see hinges, we see tubes, we see systems. Okay, the optic system, if you take one part of the optic system out, and it's called irreducible complexity, take one part of the optic system out and it doesn't work. So the eye is designed for seeing, the ear is designed for hearing, the body is designed for movement and function. In fact, the DNA molecule has code in it. Code in it, saying how a particular animal, how a particular plant and so on is to grow and how it's to function. Where did that code come from? Well, if you see code or design, you don't say, oh, there couldn't possibly be a coder or a designer or a planner, do you? Wings of fowl, flying creatures are made precisely for flight. We could go on and on. The moon's tidal action regulating the oceans. We're going to see more as we go on. Here's an example from Michael J. Behe. He wrote the book Darwin's Black Box, The Biochemical Challenged Evolution. This is just one quote from this. He says, over that, and I'll just read the first part before I read the quote. Only in the last century has man been able to use microscopes to uncover molecular design. Now look at what Michael says here. He says, as strange as it may seem, modern biochemistry has shown that the cell is operated by machines, literally molecular machines. In fact, the more they know in the molecular and atomic level, the more they see design, machinery right through your body. In fact, your body is a machine. It's a biological machine. So we see that there is a recognition amongst many scientists. Just because you're a scientist doesn't mean you automatically believe in evolution. As many do, but they're towing the line, the current philosophy, of the atheistic philosophy, by the way, of leaving God out. But that doesn't make sense. You know, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 31, verses 35 and 36, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea with the waves thereof, roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances are laws and dictates, is there a law of gravity? Yes. All types of laws. If you were to study chemistry, biology, physics, and so on, the sciences, you'll see that it's full of laws. Study maths, mathematical law, and so on. In fact, physics, biology, chemistry is all rooted and grounded in the laws of mathematics and logic. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. So God is saying those ordinances have been set in place in creation. How foolish it is to believe that everything came about by chance, random processes. So reliable, firm laws operating in creation. We know that the earth revolves around the sun. The earth as a globe revolves, and we see that there's a daily revolution, and so on and so on. This has all been set into motion by the Lord right at the beginning. Can man see his own limitations? Now, this is a really interesting scripture from Jeremiah 31, verse 37. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Now, at the time of Jeremiah the prophet, at the time of Abraham and so on, when they didn't have telescopes. So if they looked up into the sky, they would be able, if they had good eyes, be able to count around about 6,000 stars. But since the time of the telescopes, we've been able, and especially when you get into the James Webb telescope, you can see right deep into long distances. And what do you see? Fully formed galaxies. Stars upon stars upon stars. Each galaxy has millions of stars, and there are millions of galaxies. So what is the Lord saying here? He's pointing to saying, if the heaven above can be measured, and we're going to look at some of the measurements in a minute, if the heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, then he'd cast off the seed of Israel. But of course, he's not going to, is he? Because man cannot measure the heaven above, since there are millions of galaxies, each with millions of stars and many other celestial bodies. So have you start to see that the Bible, when it says something, is not foolishness? It's correct. Now, Isaac Newton was known as the father of modern science. Did you know that? The father of modern science. And he was a believer in God. What did he say? He said in his book Principia, 1713, this is what he said. The most beautiful system of the sun, planets and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as Lord over all. So he saw that God was separate from his creation. Because Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So what did the father of modern science, Isaac Newton, and he's one of the most famous scientists ever, what did he believe? What did he say? He wasn't a stupid man. In fact, he believed the Bible. He wrote a commentary on the book of Daniel, for example. So he believed the Bible. And he's talking about a system of the sun, planets and comets and so on. He says there's a system. Did it go into your heart what Psalm 14 verse 1 said? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So Genesis 2 verse 1 said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. So if you read through Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, you see how God created. Now, Hebrews 3 verse 4 gives us a testable thing. It says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. So when you look at a house, you see that there's a plan. Okay, they didn't just say, well, let's pop out, we'll take this board here. And no, they had a plan, architectural plan, go out, and they had building materials. You see that? Building blocks. And they had a process by which they put that house together. So intelligence was involved in putting that house together. Can everyone see that? So the Bible is saying that he that built all things. What does that tell you about all things? All things have been built by God. You might say, well, earth seems to be full of the curse. There seems to be things all going wrong. Yes, that's because we're living on a fallen planet. When man fell, the Bible says sin entered into the world and death by sin. So the whole death cycle came about when man went away from God. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ brings people back to God. If that every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Are there building blocks in creation? We mentioned molecules. There's atoms. There's all types of things that go into making up you and me and our bodies and so on. And everything around us. So Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now that heaven is talking about where his throne is established. And you can see that in Psalm 14 verse 2. We read 14 verse 1. Psalm 14 verse 2 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So if people sincerely seek God, they will find him. But if they just say, well, I'll just go with the flow and ignore lots of vital evidence. So the heaven where God exists is called the third heaven. There's three heavens. The first is the atmosphere heaven. It's described in Genesis chapter 1. The second is the starry heaven. And the third is the heaven where God's throne is established. The earth is connected to the heavens. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Isaiah 45 verse 18. Can you see that? Underlined for you. He formed it to be inhabited. The earth, we mentioned before, is the Goldilocks planet, just right. He formed it to be inhabited. He didn't form Mars to be inhabited. He didn't form the gas giant Jupiter to be inhabited, or Pluto, or other planets or planetoids. He formed Earth to be inhabited. So that's a testable thing. The Bible says this in the book of Isaiah, written thousands of years ago. And we can test that. Has Earth been formed to be inhabited? Well, obviously, yes. We mentioned before it's the right distance from the sun for water, essential for life, to be a liquid at the right temperature. It has the right size for gravity to hold the right, mainly oxygen atmosphere for air-breathing life. Its atmosphere of ferment acts as a shield from deadly radiation and other space debris. Its magnetic field shields from deadly radiation. Okay. So it's not hard to see that it's testable. We talked about the building blocks. We talked about the fact that he formed the earth to be inhabited. The moon has a special connection to the earth. And I just want to read this quote from Donald D. Young, Astronomy and the Bible, 1990. This is what he says. Surely ocean tides are not an accidental and random result of solar system formation, for they have great value in cleansing shorelines and helping ocean life to prosper. Tides provide an important component of the ocean currents. Without these currents, the oceans would stagnate along the sea coasts of the world, and the death of marine life, both animals and oxygen-producing plants, would soon follow. Our very existence depends upon the moon's tidal regulation of this intricate food web. Is this coincidence? The moon, the Bible says in Genesis 1, was created. The moon is not an accidental formation, as evolutionists or atheists would say. It's not true. Are stars as numerous as sand grains? Well, let's test this. You know, God said to Abraham, now I mentioned that Abraham, when he looked up into the skies, could probably, if he had good eyes, have counted just a few thousand stars. But God said that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Jeremiah 33 verse 22 says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of my servant, of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. So obviously God is seeing an eternal purpose for mankind, which many, because they're in a very focused viewpoint, only looking at this, what the Bible calls a vapor of a life, they don't have an eternal perspective at all. But we see the host of heaven cannot be numbered. Is that true? If Abraham went by sight, he'd be saying, well, wait a minute, I can number, there's exactly 6,021 up there. Now God is speaking according to his divine knowledge here. And the Bible is a divine book. So let's test it. Enormous number of stars. On a clear moonless night. This is from Donald D. Young, Astronomy in the Bible, 1990. On a clear moonless night, about 3,000 stars are visible with the unaided eye. The stars we can see are all in our corner of the Milky Way galaxy. This entire galaxy numbers about 100 billion stars, or 10 to the 11 stars, 10 one followed by 11 zeros. Can you even understand that number? And beyond the Milky Way are other galaxies of all shapes and sizes. Around 100 billion such galaxies are known to exist, even more after the James Webb telescope, which has just come into play over the last few years. Taking the Milky Way as an average galaxy, the total number of stars we know about is 10 to the 11 times 10 to the 11, or 10 to the 22. So, do we understand that the Lord says, and he made the stars also? This is a display of his power and glory. Okay. Display of his power and glory. This is the way I see it. If man can measure to here and thinks that he knows that this is how big the universe is, the reality is God has made the universe that big. Can you see what I'm saying? So, the host of heaven cannot be numbered. That's what the scripture tells us. And the numbers we're looking at are so large as to be incomprehensible. So if you looked upon the grains of sand upon the seashore, and this comes from Donald D. Young as well, we can see that If you modelled the amount of sand on the world's seashores, just as an estimate, you can see there's about 10 to the 22 grains, which is about the same number of stars that we just mentioned. So are stars as numerous as sand grains? At the time of the promise in Genesis 22:17, Abraham could only see in the sky about 3,000 stars. So if you knew about the other side of the earth, there'd be another 3,000, so man could compute just with his eyes about 6,000 stars. There are more than 3,000 grains of sand upon the seashore. God is telling us here that the number of stars is enormous, even if Abraham could not see them. We just saw a scientific estimate of the number of stars is 10 to the 22. And the scientific estimate of the number of grains of sand upon the seashore is about 10 to the 22 even, as well. No one could count or measure this amount. God's glory is shown in the stars. Isaiah 40 verse 25 and 26 says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them all by names. by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we won't turn to it, but that says it actually says that there's different glory or different types of stars. Has that been what we've discovered, or what astronomers have discovered? Yes, indeed. There's some massive stars out there. Our sun is at the right constituency to be able to provide light and heat just for Earth, which so it's been designed for us. If there's 10 to the 22, probably far more than that, stars, God is so big and powerful, in fact he's eternal, omniscient, he knows all things, he calls them all by names, because as far as God is concerned, creation is finite. It doesn't go on forever and ever, it is finite. He created everything. Circular witness of the earth. Some people think you believe in a flat earth. No, I don't. I believe the earth is a globe. There's lots of evidence for that. In fact, I was looking at the latest spacecraft that was sent from Earth and has just recently landed on the moon. And as it was coming away from the earth, you could clearly see the earth was a globe. Praise the Lord. The Bible talks about it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. It's right high looking down. Oh, they're really, inhabitants are really tiny. It stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Isaiah 40 verse 22. The Bible says a lot about astronomy. It says a lot about things in creation, and it is never wrong. Special creation is man. Genesis 1 verses 26 and 27. Man is not just another animal. Man has been created in the image of God. And God said, let us make man in our image. This is obviously talking about the Trinity, God the Father, Son and Holy Ghost. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Two sexes, male and female. God created man in his own image. Man is a thinking, speaking, planning creature. And as the Bible says, he has dominion over all the earth. Now, fallen man, that is man without God, is in sin. The Bible calls him a servant of sin. Those who have been saved are servants of righteousness. So you can see there's lots of sin going on around us. You can see that the vestige of man being created in the image of God is still there. But because man without God acts as a sinner, you can see that he's off track. And the vast majority on earth at the moment are not born again, not saved. Man's complexity designed. I'll just quote from Dr. Sharath Sriman, RMIT researcher, 2015. He says, what's new in electronics? He says, the brain is an extremely complex analog computer. And up until now, its functionality has not been able to be adequately reproduced with digital technology. So people are calling the brain a computer. Man's brain needs whole language processing centres that are completely absent from animals. It doesn't mean that you can't teach animals certain words and they can get to a particular level, but I don't see many animals writing books. I don't see them designing cities and so on. So one of the first tasks that God gave man was connected with man's unique ability to speak. Genesis 2 verse 19 says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Okay. So the wonder of God's creation, I've already talked about Isaac Newton. He wrote a book called Optics in 1730. Guess what he said? As a believer in God, as the creator, he said, "Was the eye contrived without skill in optics, and the ear without knowledge of sounds?" So clearly, he saw that the eye had to be put together with by someone who understood about optics, about laws, the laws of physics. And we can see here just from this, the optical system. How could you get chance random process producing this? It's impossible. I mentioned Michael Bay here, it's a good book to look at, about, and he talks a lot about irreducible complexity. In other words, whole systems are created, and you take any part out of that system and the system does not work. Exactly the same with this. So Isaac Newton, who's known as the father of modern science, recognised it. And there are a lot of creationists who are scientists on the earth today. More and more scientists are waking up that evolution is a bankrupt philosophy and does not explain the truth. So God created man for a purpose. Psalm 8 verses 4 to 6 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion." Notice that word, dominion, "over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Okay, so as far as God is concerned, if everyone on the earth was righteous, that is, that came to Christ and was born again, you would find that the keeping of the earth, the dominion, would not be anywhere near what you're seeing now in terms of destruction, destructive behaviour and so on. In fact, the Lord would give great advances in technology because he understands technology. The technology of heaven is far in advance of where we are at. He created everything. He built everything. We saw that before. So the contradiction of false science, 1 Timothy 6:20 says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called." So the word science just means a system of knowledge. So I would call evolution a false science because it's professing to explain everything you see all around you, but there's no evidence for it. And if you point it out and said, "Oh, what about that?" they'll go to their rescuing devices and say, "Well, it's just because we haven't discovered this yet." The reality is that they have a worldview, and the worldview keeps them from believing in the Creator. So the false science of evolution claims that man was not created but evolved from ape-like creatures over millions of years. It claims that everything came about by chance without God involved. Well, Colossians 2 verse 8b, the last half of it, says this is philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So we must be people that, you know, God wants us to use our minds properly and to think properly and to use the laws of logic and to understand about creation. The Bible is not against science, it is pro-science to the hilt. So we read, for example, from Philip E. Johnson, Darwin on Trial, 1994, physical anthropology, it's a study of human origins, is a field that throughout its history has been more heavily influenced by subjective factors than almost any other branch. The pressure to find confirmation of evolution was so great that it led to one spectacular fraud, Piltdown Man, which British Museum officials zealously protected from unfriendly inspection, allowing it to perform 40 years of useful service in moulding public opinion. You know, I believe that if school children were shown the other side, this side, they'd start to think properly. But unfortunately, at the moment, the education system and the philosophies around us are all, you know, pushing these false sciences such as evolution. And there's a book you might like to read, The Science Fraud of the Century and Its Solution, Unraveling Piltdown. Now, there's quite a lot of fraudulent stuff within evolutionary doctrine and so on. But we don't have time to go into it tonight. We do have plenty of material on the Victory Faith Centre website. You go into the creation section, you'll see many sermons there. You can go to the studies section, you'll see many studies there as well. Interestingly enough, the Bible points to the Lord Jesus Christ as the creator, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that creation was made for his pleasure. Now, he's not getting pleasure out of fallen creation, and so one day that will be restored. The Bible calls it the new heavens and the new earth down the track. So going back to this scripture, Romans 1:20, it should make more sense to you now, because we could go on and on. It could be hours around what I've presented here. That's why I point you to the studies and the other things where there are hours and hours of material you can look at. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even by his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So you should be able to start to see that according to God, if you look at creation, you're without excuse for not believing in him. Mankind must know about sin against God. So the two verses just before that says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. Now, when an atheist makes an argument, what's he using? He's trying to use the laws of logic, isn't he? Where did those laws come from? He has to borrow from the creationist worldview to do that. Because the creationist believes that there is a creator, there is a God that made everything, including all the ordinances, the laws, and so on. So sin is a big problem on the earth, and you see the results of it right across the earth. We could talk a lot about that. But Jesus said in John 3:12, if I have told you earthly things, and he did say a lot about earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So a lot of people need to be shown that God actually does exist as a creator. Evolution is a bankrupt philosophy. John 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So here's the way. You want to come into the kingdom of God? You must receive him as your Saviour. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 1 and 8 and 9. And Romans 10, 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So there's more information you can get there. Well, praise the Lord.